228EP Eau Claire. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Several Marines returning from training are missing after their helicopter crashed in a remote area about an hour outside of San Diego. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti is there.
A desperate search for five missing U.S. Marines after the helicopter they were on vanished during a powerful storm. Search and rescue teams located the helicopter in a remote mountain area inside the Cleveland National Forest. The condition it was found in is unclear.
The search is ongoing for the helicopter and the crew. Obviously, our hopes are of the best here.
That's National Security Council spokesman John Kirby. A drone strike in Baghdad kills a high-ranking militia commander. The U.S. military also says there are no indications of collateral damage or civilian casualties. More from CBS's David Martin at the Pentagon.
The drone strike in downtown Baghdad engulfed a vehicle in flames, killing a senior commander of the largest Iranian-backed militia in Iraq and Syria, known as Kataib Hezbollah. U.S. officials said the nighttime strike was part of the retaliation ordered by President Biden after the drone attack, which killed three American soldiers in Jordan.
A strike hit near the entrance of a tent camp in Rafah, Gaza, damaging a vehicle. It also caused panic among the displaced Palestinians living there. This as Israel dismisses a Hamas plan to end the fighting in Gaza and secure the release of the hostages. CBS's Robert Berger has more from Jerusalem.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu rejected a Hamas proposal for a ceasefire, saying Israel will fight on until complete victory. He said it will take months to defeat Hamas, but victory is within reach.
Netanyahu's comments follow his meeting with Secretary of State Antony Blinken. The family of a Palestinian woman from the New Orleans suburb of Gretna is pleading for help from Washington after video showed her being arrested by the Israeli military. 46-year-old Samahar Ismail was visiting family in the West Bank when she was taken into custody, her son Ibrahim Hamed.
Very stressful. I don't know how to work. I don't know how to stand. I don't know how to sleep. You don't know what's next. You don't know what news you're going to find.
In a U.S. Senate test vote.
On this vote, the yeas are 49, the nays are 50, three-fifths of the
Senate Republicans have blocked a bipartisan border package, which has taken months of negotiations. Health officials are warning of a second surge of flu activity following the holiday season. Infectious disease specialist Dr. William Schaffner with Vanderbilt University Medical
We've
Center.
We've got another month of flu, some COVID, obviously, RSV, that virus is coming down.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Todd Alma Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Stephen from
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggeho. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Universities of Wisconsin have a new website listing all online courses across the system's 13 campuses. The website lists more than 200 online programs and links to the campuses that offer the classes. The UW system is facing an $18 million deficit by this summer after years of declining enrollment and lower state aid. 4 2-year branch campuses are closing. President Biden and Donald Trump are dead even in the latest Marquette Law School poll. Trump's up slightly when you add in third-party candidates who took a sizable chunk of the votes.
I think it reflects the broad dissatisfaction with both Trump and Biden as the matchup. And so people unhappy with that are expressing it by saying at this point they'd vote third party.
Pollster Charles Franklin spoke with the Devil's Advocates radio show on Wednesday. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks lose to the Suns. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks were shorthanded and lost to the Suns in Phoenix 114-106. Giannis played, but without Lillard, Middleton, and Brooke Lopez. The Bucks are now 1-4 since they hired Doc Rivers to replace Adrian Griffin as head coach. Rivers blames part of that on the team's schedule.
You know, the Utah game, you kind of knew, you know, altitude, back-to-back. I mean, whoever scheduled a Dallas-Utah have never been on an airplane in their life, you know, or no time zones. I guarantee you when they looked at that before the year started, they were like, this was going to be a brutal game for us. So it's probably all that.
The Bucs are back home tomorrow night against Minnesota. NFL, the Packers' new linebackers coach is Anthony Campanile, formerly of the Miami Dolphins. Meanwhile, the Dolphins have hired Joe Barry to replace him. And former Packers and Bears assistant coach Luke Getsy hired yesterday as the new offensive coordinator of the Las Vegas Raiders. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight with rain developing late. Warm with lows in the low 40s and breezy. Showers around tomorrow, maybe some rumbles of thunder and staying breezy. Highs all the way to the mid-50s. Cooler for Friday and the weekend as high temperatures drop back into the 30s. It's 46 right now.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Now, a guy who thinks chickens dream of one day being pot pies, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. Happy hump day, everybody. Great to have you with me on a Wednesday night. Always love our time together. It's great to be on the air, live, statewide in Wisconsin, broadcasting from our City Deck Landing studios here at WGBW in downtown Green Bay. Back for another round. Boy, last night was a fun show, wasn't it, Conrad?
Oh, yeah, it definitely was.
Yeah, we had this great text from listeners, and Scott Clay, so it was so fun to talk to him, and Todd Michaels talking ghosts, and we have a lot more where that came from tonight. It's very exciting. We've got a filmmaker tonight, John Bezak will join us. Mike Clemens, Civic Media's sports guru, is in Las Vegas. And we'll get an update on the Super Bowl from Mike. And then syndicated columnist Greg Schwemm will be along at 9:35 talking about how he had a recent article in Tribune Media Services where he talked about how he can't find a therapist. And it's better to find any therapist than no therapist. So Greg will talk to us about that. Maybe you can relate. I know one time I was inquiring about a therapist and there was a 4-month wait. I mean, what if you're really messed up? You know, it doesn't make sense. So we'll talk to Greg about that. And Conrad is here as usual, ready to take your text. Are you ready, buddy?
I'm ready. You know, I'm always ready.
We don't know what to expect though, right?
We don't.
You never know because sometimes people text later and that's kind of fun too, but after the guest is gone or we can't ask the question. So as usual, we love getting your texts. We love reading them on the air. Don't hold back. If you want to comment on something on the show, any aspect of the show, what we're talking about, guests, our question of the night, which I'll get to shortly, fire away. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, or 844-967. Conrad will take your text, put it through, and we will discuss. Our question tonight, I think this is kind of a fun one. We have some birthdays today. There are some celebrity birthdays. Chris Rock turns 59. Ashton Kutcher turns 46. I find that hard to believe. You buy that he's 46, Conrad?
I mean, yeah. That 70s show, he was, I think, around 23 in that. That's like 20 years old now.
He was 23 when he started?
I think so, or somewhere around there.
He's lying. Because I was at a bowling alley, a famous bowling alley, where they shot The Big Lebowski. This is before they tore it down and turned it into a school. I want to say I was 30 at the time, and he was really obnoxious. They were doing some kind of promotional thing for that 70s show. It was a brand new show. And he was overdoing it, but whatever. He's having fun. He looked like a pretty fun guy. But I don't know. I can't believe he was that young. He might be 49. I'm just leaving it out there. I'm just putting that out there. Ashton Kutcher, if you're listening, and you might be because you shot a show that was based in Wisconsin, fictitiously. Who cares, right? So, but that is our question tonight. What is your favorite TV show set in Wisconsin? Is it that 70s show? Is it Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley? Was the show Edge shot here? I can't remember. But there have been a few. And you know what? Let's expand it to movies. Let's say, what is your favorite TV show or movie set in Wisconsin? Let us know what you think. The text line is open. Conrad and his itchy trigger finger are standing by, ready to take that text. And the best way to text us, too, is on the app. It's so simple. Our show is statewide. Just open the Civic Media app. Click on any one of the stations. You'll get the show and a little icon, and you can just press that. Click that and text away. And that way we will know what you're thinking about tonight's Nightlight episode. So as I mentioned, Chris Rock is 59 today. James Spader is 64. Ashton Kutcher is 46. And Charles Dickens, this is his birthday. He left us many, many years ago, but the writer of David Copperfield would be about 300 years old today. So that's exciting. There's some big releases on this day too. One I'm very excited about, which is not a very PC movie anymore. Blazing Saddles came out in 1974 on this day. And I will be honest, I've got a couple clips from Blazing Saddles. We'll get to them, but wow, this is not, it is so hard to find a clip from Blazing Saddles that is not offensive to someone. And I'm not about to risk it. Conrad, have we been sued yet?
I don't believe so.
I don't think so.
We're still here, so.
Right. Well, you had that one issue, but we worked it out. We settled out of court. Blazing Saddles was released in 1974. Letterkenny in 2016. We were talking about this before the show. I've never seen Letterkenny, and I hear it's hilarious. And supposedly, it's like Canadian, and the humor is very similar. All my friends say, you'll love it. People from Wisconsin will love Letterkenny, but I've never really watched it. And Queer Eye came out in 2018. Something doesn't seem right there. Is that different than Queer Eye for the straight guy? Conrad?
I'm not sure.
Did I wake you?
I just okay. Didn't know you were asking me that.
Well, who am I at? Who, it's just us here.
It's the ghost. You remember? You got your co-star right next to you.
I know. Maybe the ghost of Todd is sitting next to me. I don't know, because I thought that show was called Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, and they mentioned it on The Office. Michael Scott says something. That must be a different show. So I don't even know the show I'm acknowledging, so we're going to let that one go. But Blazing Saddles, 1974, Letterkenny, 2016. And I want to get to, this is kind of, Chris Rock turns 59. He's a great comedian. And I remember, I have a Chris Rock story from when I did stand-up. I remember hearing I was working with him at the Pittsburgh Funny Bone. This is probably in 1995. And I have to be honest, I remember Chris Rock from early in his career. I didn't love his act. And I was like, oh, man. All right, whatever. So I'm working with Chris Rock. And when he went on stage, I was absolutely blown away. Apparently, he had some kind of an epiphany and just started writing from the heart and what was on his mind, and he didn't care who he offended. And he was outstanding. We didn't talk much off stage. He's kind of keeps to himself. He's a pretty quiet guy off stage, but he was very cordial, very nice. Here's my story. You ready for this, Conrad?
I'm all ears.
Okay. So this woman comes up to me and asks me for my autograph. I'm like the guy in the middle. You know, I sign like one autograph a year. And people ask you just in case you become famous someday. So I never signed an autograph, so I wrote her a little note. You know, we had Bruce Springsteen in common. I wrote something about the boss. She thanked me. And then she goes over and asks Chris Rock for an autograph. He grabs her paper and just writes his first name and hands it to her, barely looking at her. This woman lost her mind. She was so mad. And I feel like I almost got Chris Rock killed because I took the time to write her a note, not even knowing she was going to ask Chris Rock for his autograph. She starts yelling at him. And the doorman was this guy. He was really cool. And he tries to get in the way of this woman and Chris Rock. And she goes, "Get away from me, fat boy." And she pushes him. And he takes a tumble over a chair. And Chris Rock is like, not freaking out, but he's close to it. And he goes into the green room and disappears. And I heard her yelling at him. She said, "That white boy wrote me a nice note. And you just write Chris." I almost got Chris Rock killed. She would have started wailing on him because he's not a big guy. But man, was he funny. I could not believe how funny he was. In fact, this, I think, marks the second anniversary coming up with the Oscars where Will Smith went up on stage and cracked Chris Rock so hard. Totally insane Will Smith. The guy obviously had a lot going on, did not deal with it well. And took it out on Chris Rock, who was just hired to tell jokes, and that's what he was doing. So that's who Chris Rock is talking about in this clip. It's also hard to find a clip of Chris Rock because we have to just beep, beep, beep. So, but let's play his stand-up and how he addressed the incident with Will Smith a couple years ago.
"You guys are fighting all the time. We're not fighting. First of all, I know you can't tell on camera. Will Smith is significantly bigger than me. We are not the same size, okay? We are not. This guy, Will Smith does movies with his shirt off. You've never seen me do a movie with my shirt off. If I'm in a movie getting open heart surgery, I got on a sweater. Will Smith played Muhammad Ali in a movie. You think I auditioned for that part? He played Muhammad Ali. I played Pookie in New Jack City. Pookie, mother.
All right, we added all those beeps just for effect. But that's Chris Rock. Happy birthday, Chris Rock. He's 59. Sorry I almost got you killed. And you know what? He would probably, we didn't hang out. We didn't really talk too much. He was a little bit of back and forth. He probably remembers me just because of that incident. And he was probably scared out of his mind. We got a text here. Greg, I hope I'm saying this name right. Greg Wansnyder. "Pete, can you give me a shout out? It's my birthday today. I share a birthday with Garth Brooks, Charles Dickens, and Chris Rock." That's a pretty cool birthday. Here's your shout out, Greg. Happy birthday, buddy. Thanks for the text. That is pretty cool. Okay, so when we come back, we are going to talk about, I have to check something, Conrad. We can't go anywhere yet. Hold the phone. Are there ghosts? We had such a fun talk last night. Okay. Coming up next, some Blazing Saddles fun and That 70s Show. And tonight's question, what is your favorite TV show or movie set in Wisconsin? Let us know. It's 844-967-2789. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire. The time to hesitate is through. No time to wallow in the mire. Try now, we can only lose. And our love become a funeral pyre. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
.5 The Tap.
Got some texts here for our question of the night, which is, what is your favorite TV show or movie set in Wisconsin? We are doing this in honor of Ashton Kutcher's birthday. He was a cast member on That 70s Show, so that begs the question, what is your favorite TV show set in Wisconsin or movie? Got some texts here. Christy Barlament, our friend of the show. Christy is more than a friend of the show. She's actually like more like a relative of the show. She says, Letterkenny is hilarious. And also, Kurt watching on the stream, Kurt M., I'll just say Kurt. How's that, Kurt? I don't want to invade your privacy. Letterkenny is funny. You need to check it out. Yes, I do. I've heard that from so many people. And I've just seen a few clips here and there, and it is very funny. The clips I saw, I really enjoyed, so I just haven't gotten to it yet. But I will check it out. Also, some more text coming through. 920 says, are the ghosts back? Why is it so dark in there? Conrad, is that someone you know?
No, it's not.
That's 920. Okay. It's not a Conrad family member. Okay. So they're watching on the stream, though. It's not that dark in here.
It's called nightlight for a reason, right?
Yeah, it's a nightlight. I got to cover up my wrinkles, too. Also, Steve from Florida, Conrad's dad, 920. What's going on with the Milwaukee Bucks since they hired the new coach? They have lost 3 out of the last 4 games.
It's because they can't play defense.
That is a much worse winning percentage than the coach they fired. So that's a great question, Steve. I don't know what's going on. Ask your son, though. Conrad knows.
We'll have to wait for Mike Clemens to come on.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. That's perfect. From the 608, the TV series Ed took place in Ohio. Oh, that's right. Not sure where it was filmed. My favorite Wisconsin-based movie is Dogma, which starts in Wisconsin but ends up in New Jersey. Good memory. Also, Steve from the 920, TV show Happy Days. Best show is Rodney Dangerfield. Back to school. UW-Madison. I forget about that. That was a great movie. That's a great movie about college to watch while you're in college. Thank you, Steve, for that. From the 920, Little House in the Prairie. Parts were filmed in Wisconsin. That's right. Laura Engels. And then 608 just says, Chris. Oh, Chris is giving us his name. Thanks, Chris. Great text as usual. Keep them coming, folks. We'd love to hear from you. So, I have, Conrad, you're a social media guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So will you answer this for me?
Sure.
A friend of mine about a week ago posts that they can't wait to see a certain movie. And okay. I'm not going to say what it is. But most of the people are saying, I can't wait either, or yes, or whatever. No, I'm sorry. I got the story wrong. So it was the movie The Beekeeper, which I saw a few weeks ago, and someone posted that they loved the movie. And most of the comments, there's about 8, there wasn't many. One guy said, loved it. Some woman said, I didn't like it, too violent, whatever. One guy posts, I haven't seen it yet. Why would you take the time to post that?
Just making sure everyone knows that he hasn't seen it yet.
Right. Well, what's even strange, more weird, is that someone clicked like. Right on, man.
Well, curious for your thoughts when you do see it, I guess.
I guess so. He wants everyone to know he has a friend in his apathy. So, okay. So as I mentioned, one of my all-time favorite comedies, which is totally inappropriate by today's standards, is Blazing Saddles, which was released in 1974. You know what, Conrad? Let's pivot. Let's talk That 70s Show.
Okay.
Because you found those great clips with Kelso.
Yeah.
That's who Ashton Kutcher plays. So let's play. Do you want to set this one up? You said this beautifully, and you're more familiar with the show than I am. So.
Yeah, so Eric and Donna, throughout the show, they've been dating or whatever. But in a certain season, they actually get engaged, and their famous spot where they hang out is a water tower.
Right.
And so Don and Eric go up there. It's all for a romantic evening, but she gets mad. She throws the ring off the tower, and she's like, oh, I lost it the next day. So Kelso has a bright idea of how to get the ring back.
Hey, if you threw the ring from up here, I mean, it's got to be around here somewhere. All right, excuse me. I am a police officer in training, so we're going to do this by the book.
What book? You didn't read any book.
No, but I was assigned one. Killed four bees with it. All right, what we're going to do is we're going to recreate the scene. Donna, Eric has just let you down in a big way. You're up on this tower. You've had a few beers, so you're starting to feel a little loose and very, very vulnerable.
Okay, that sounds about right.
Okay, do you want to make out?
Also, I thought you were recreating the scene.
I'm taking the scene in a new direction.
Okay, let's just get to the part where she threw the ring.
Okay. So, what we're going to do here is we're going to throw an M&M into the woods in place of the ring. Wherever it lands, we'll search there first.
Fez, give him the M&Ms, man.
Yeah, about that. Whose dumb idea was to let me hold the M&Ms?
All right. Instead of the candy, we will throw my keys into the woods. Oh, crap. I just threw my keys into the woods.
Sure did.
Why didn't somebody say something?
So that you'd throw your keys into the woods.
Oh, what? That's a good burn.
I had very little to do with it.
How long did that show run for?
I think like 12? No, 10.
No way. Really? 12.
It's. I think it might be 10 seasons.
Let's find out here. Let's go to the Google. 98 to 206. Okay. 8 years. That's a really good run. And the creator of the show, Mark Brazil, is from, he was a stand-up, I think, from Detroit. And he did okay. Still getting those residual checks. So that's good. So we got a couple more texts here. Conrad, your mom texted. We got to get to this. Yeah. Of course you see. Rico from Rock County in the 608 says, going old school here. With 1974, Deranged, did you both Psycho and Silence of the Lambs were also based on Ed Gein? Okay, that's a little bit of a stretch, but I could go with that. I did not see Deranged. I don't even know that film. I'm going to Google that during the break, though. That's great. And then from the 920, Conrad's mom says, Happy Days. I'm with you, Paula. Happy Days is also, that has to be my favorite Wisconsin-based show. I mean, I kind of have a love-hate relationship with the show, because as we talked about it a few weeks ago on the anniversary of the show, Fonzie was really cool. The show was really fun when it started. It had like this authenticity to it. It was shot on film, which looked really cool. You really felt like you were kind of looking into the world, and then it just got crazy. Fonzie jumping the shark, saving the world. It just got a little insane. But do you agree with me there, Paula? I don't know. Let me know. Great text as always. Keep them coming. That's our question of the night. What is your favorite TV show or movie set in Wisconsin? 844-967-2789 or text us on the app. Papa Rico from the stream says, Friends in Low Places. Greg has my vote. That's a Garth Brooks reference. Barry McClure says, All hockey guys know who Letterkenny is. No argument there. Christy Barlament, love that show. And Barry McClure, me too. So, coming up next, filmmaker John Bezak talks about his film Love and Irony, which premieres this weekend in Door County. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep peacocking around our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle of our house, it has a crowd. There's always something happening, and it's usually quite loud. Our mum, she's so house proud. Nothing ever slows her down.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd
CBS
Allmall Show.
CBS News Brief. Search and rescue is underway for five Marines after their helicopter crashed in Pine Valley, California, about an hour outside of San Diego. KFMB-TV's Kelly Hesedal.
This is in a remote area of the Cleveland National Forest. Rugged terrain, lots of rocks. There are trails for vehicles to go through, but it is rough. So crews had to deal with lots of mud and snow.
The U.S. conducts a drone strike in Iraq, killing a senior commander of an Iran-linked militia, CBS's David Martin.
That drone attack in Jordan, which killed the three American soldiers, had the fingerprints of Kitab Hezbollah all over it.
The family of a Palestinian woman from the New Orleans suburb of Gretna is pleading for help from Washington after video showed her being arrested by the Israeli military while visiting family, her son Ibrahim Hamed.
I was like hoping this morning maybe I'd wake up to a phone call saying, oh, we found her, oh, she's released, but nothing. It feels heartbreaking.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wildfires could be a problem in Wisconsin this spring. The Department of Natural Resources says warm weather and a lack of snow will likely make conditions dry this spring. The DNR says Wisconsin has already had one small wildfire. It was Saturday in Fairchild near Eau Claire. New farmers trying to get their operations started in Wisconsin are learning about leasing land. Kelly Wilfert is a farm management outreach specialist with the University of Wisconsin Extension.
Land is very expensive when you're competing against farmers who have assets already built up that they can leverage in order to afford that land.
She says leasing land allows new farmers to invest money in equipment. About a third of all farmland in Wisconsin is leased. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
I'm Earl Ingram. It's Black History Month. I'm honored to welcome some special guests to talk about it. Professor Bob Harvey will be here this Thursday, February 8th from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. We'll discuss Black history like only Professor Bob Harvey can. And you can be part of the conversation, too.
Don't miss the Earl Ingram Show with special guests throughout Black History Month here on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight with rain developing late, warm with lows in the low 40s and breezy. Showers around tomorrow, maybe some rumbles of thunder and staying breezy. Highs all the way to the mid-50s. Cooler for Friday and the weekend as high temperatures drop back into the 30s. It's 46 right now.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special healthcare needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Time to start thinking spring. And if you're a local agriculture producer of any size or type, you may want to check out the annual Chippewa Valley Ag Conference Thursday, February 22nd. Ag experts will lead sessions at the Conference Center in Eau Claire, sharing tips, tools, and even advice to help your upcoming production season be a success. Find more information at eventbrite.com. Search Chippewa Valley Ag Conference. Again, eventbrite.com. Search Chippewa Valley Ag Conference. If music is more your thing, you don't want to miss Pat McCurdy live at the Plus in Eau Claire. The creative and funny Milwaukee-based artist will be entertaining for two nights, February 16th and 17th. Maybe perfect for a post-Valentine's date or Galentine's too. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to the Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. A couple more texts here. Our question tonight is, what is your favorite TV show or movie set in Wisconsin? The 920. Jim from Appleton says, best TV show based in Wisconsin, Laverne and Shirley. Lenny and Squiggy were epic. Schott's Brewery was ahead of its time. Was it, Jim? I love that they called it Schott's. It's so obviously like a combination between Schlitz and what? Blatz, probably? Schott's Brewery. Lenny went on to have an amazing career. Michael McKeon. Squiggy, not so much. I think he did okay. I think he got by. But Lenny, Michael McKeon, turned out to be just an amazing actor. From the 630, Andrew from Verona says, Making a Murderer. Womp, womp. He added his own sound effects. Thank you, Andrew. That was crazy. And I have a funny story about Making of a Murderer. A friend of mine in New York watched that show. And the Wisconsin, our accent was so thick on the characters in Making of a Murderer, he had to put on the subtitles. And they were speaking English, but he needed subtitles to understand what the characters were saying. I kind of forgot about that one. There's a sequel coming out, as I understand. Coming up later in the program, Greg Schwemm, syndicated columnist, will talk about therapy and his latest article. Greg's articles are really funny. I highly recommend you find him, and I will give you that information shortly. Mike Clemens with an update from Las Vegas coming up at 9:05. Right now, we turn our attention to filmmaking, one of my favorite topics, and I'm really excited to welcome this guy. He is a Wisconsin filmmaker, Milwaukee-based John Bezek. John, welcome to Nightlight.
Hey, how's it going, Pete?
Doing really well, thanks. Thanks for taking time out and being with us tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show.
You bet. So your film is called Love and Irony. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's kind of a throwback romantic / screwball comedy. We shot it all here in Milwaukee, and it is currently enjoying success on the festival circuit.
Very nice. What festivals have you? I know you're now. So one of my questions for you was: Is it your world premiere here at the Door County Short Film Festival this weekend? It's obviously not, or next weekend, no. I should say. What other festivals have you played?
We've got 14 laurels so far. So, nice. It's played around the country. Hickory, North Carolina, Mineral Point, Milwaukee. Tomorrow morning, I'm flying up to Minneapolis and then driving to Ely, Minnesota, where it's playing in Ely, Minnesota.
Nice.
And then next week it's in Door County. And then in April, we're in Beloit. And then we got a big one in April that I can't say yet because it hasn't been made public, but it's a really good festival and we're in competition and it should be a great screening.
How exciting is that?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah,
boy, things have changed since the last time I talked to you. I sensed like a little frustration in your frustration, and it just, all it takes is one thing to turn things around. So good for you. That's really great.
Yeah.
News.
All of a sudden, it seems like it's kind of, making his way out there. So
yeah. Yeah. So, you say you shot in Milwaukee. And I wanted to ask you about, so you said it played at Mineral Point. Is that the Driftless?
Correct. We won the audience award.
Wow. Congratulations, buddy. That's
great festival, great theater.
It's like a little opera house, right?
It's an opera house. What a great town. Like my first time there, I can't wait to go back for anything, whether it's to see music or to see films, whatever, but just a class A place. It was really, really enjoyable.
Yeah. I was there a few years ago and I was, I think I had driven through there years ago, but it was just such a beautiful area. And I love that name, cool. The Driftless area.
Yeah.
It's just so mysterious and cool.
Absolutely.
Did you say you played at the Milwaukee International?
We did. Yeah.
How did that go?
That's it went great. Festival. We sold out both places, or both houses, kind of a hometown crowd, of course, but, and that was the first time that we actually saw it. So it was good, you know, and it was actually the lead actor the first time he had seen anything. So it was really special for him to come up with his wife and his family. His parents saw it done the first screening. Him and his wife came up for the second one, and, you know, they were kind of blown away. So it was very enjoyable.
Let's keep it on your cast. I saw the film a few months ago. You did a really nice job casting. I loved how real your characters were, from how they acted and how they looked. They just look like regular people, and it makes it easier to lose yourself in the film. Where did you find your two leads?
Yes. Well, you know, they say, the largest part of directing is casting, and it's true, you know, in the sense of, I knew the movie was going to live or die by the cast and by the script.
Yeah.
And that's both those things are on me, you know? So I spent a lot of time casting, over 2 years, I think, just looking until I found the right people. And I started in Milwaukee, and then I went to Chicago twice. And then I went to LA once, and then I went to Chicago again. So, over 2 years, I believe I found the majority of the actors were in Chicago. My lead actress came out of Los Angeles.
Okay. Yeah, she was great. And it's nice, isn't it, that you have, like, I think there's some pretty good actors in Milwaukee too, but it's fantastic. Nice that Chicago is so close too, because you can tap into those resources as well.
Wonderful. Yeah. I mean, and that, just the whole history of all the improv that they've got down there. And it's, it's just it's a wealth of talent.
The improv, the theater. I mean, the theater community, I think.
Theater, every comedy, you know, and now all the TV shows that are shot down there.
Right.
You know, it's really great.
So tell us a little bit about you, John. Tell the listeners, where did you come from? When did you get interested in film? And tell us a little bit about your journey to this point.
Yeah, well, I'm originally from Racine. So kind of grew up in Racine. And then when I was 12, my family, we moved to Holland for 4 years. So I lived in Europe for 4 years at a very young age, from 12 to 16, which was fantastic.
Nice,
good experience. You know, late 70s in Holland, you know, crazy. but wonderful, you know, and just opened my eyes to the world, really. And came back and ended up going to school in Madison with a comm arts degree. While I was there, I did spend a year also abroad in Italy, lived in Italy for a year. But ended up getting out with, a communication arts degree with an emphasis on radio, TV, and film.
Okay. You said getting maybe, out, you had to be sprung.
Like 5-year plan, you know.
Right.
You know, at the time I couldn't wait to get out, and now I always can't wait to go back, because I love Madison so much.
That's so fun. My son just graduated with a comm arts and journalism degree in the spring, and he's kind of the same way. He couldn't wait to get out. Now he's like, man, that was really fun. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah. That's just how it is for everybody, you know.
Madison is like one of the greatest places in the world to live. You don't know when you're there, you know, but like we had it so good, and it's such a jewel.
Totally agree. My guest is John Bezek. He's a filmmaker, a Milwaukee-based filmmaker. His film is Love and Irony. And if you're in Northeast Wisconsin, you can buy tickets. We had Chris Opper, who is the director of the Door County Short Film Festival, on last night. You go to the Northern Sky website, that's in Peninsula State Park, and you can get tickets for any of the films in the festival, including Love and Irony, which is only one of three feature films. That must have made you feel pretty good.
It's great. Yeah, and I talked to Chris today, and tickets are moving brisk. He's like, you know, I think 75 to 80% have sold.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, which is great, which means we're going to have a really full house. And this, you know, all films really, but this film especially comedies.
Yeah.
They just, you know, they in a full house, they play so much better.
Okay, that was one of my questions for you, John. Explain to me, if you would, and I asked Chris this last night, but I like asking this question to people that are really into film festivals or make independent films. Talk about the importance of film festivals.
Yeah, I can't stress it enough. You know, no matter the size or the location, if you've got a dedicated room full of people who are there to see a film and enjoy an event, you've got an audience that's there to win or lose, you know? So you play your film and you get to see, you know, the strengths and weaknesses of the movie and, you know, what works and what doesn't work. And then it's just the whole communal experience, and especially with the comedy, laughter is contagious. And once they get going, you know, it's hard to stop them. And it's just been fantastic to see it, you know, on a big screen. We shot it for a big screen. We framed it for a big screen, which might have been crazy, but whatever. You know, we're OG. So when you see it and you see the how successful it is looks wise, and then story wise, it's just amazing.
So yeah. Okay, so first, I have a couple questions. First, just tell us, where did the idea or inspiration for the film come from? You have a guy, works in a bike shop. He meets this girl. What was your inspiration for writing the script? Which is the hardest part of the whole thing, in my opinion.
Correct. I'd always kind of dabbled with screenplays. Wrote a couple, I'd go to LA for a couple of weeks, see if I could sell it, which was, crazy way to do things. But I actually got a meeting with the producer one time, and she's a wonderful producer, Oscar nominated. And, she looked at the script that I'd written, and she looked at my reel and said, you could spend 5 years trying to raise money for this film, or trying to sell the film, or you could just spend 5 years making it. And I took that to heart.
And
now that script was not the one that I wrote. I then went back, I came back to Milwaukee and I wrote a script that I knew I could shoot in Milwaukee. And so my day job, is a commercial director and producer. So I have resources here, and I, got a bunch of people who were in the same boat and said, let's make a movie. And they said, yes. So I wrote a movie specifically, and specifically that we could shoot in town. That would be, I don't want to say easy, but, let's say doable.
So you have, so you've just been through the process, you've raised the money, you've done all the legwork and the heavy lifting. What do you tell someone, let's say there's someone who has a script, they like it, you read it, it's not that bad. What do you tell them about making it independently? What is some advice you could give?
Well, depends what that person wants to do. If that person wants to direct it or produce or whatever, you have to throw everything you've got into it, and you have to stay with it. I told everybody that was going to work on my film, I guaranteed them three things. Most importantly, I would finish the film.
Yeah.
Secondly, they would get paid, and not a lot. I mean, trust me, but they would get paid something.
Sure.
Thirdly, it would be shown, that I would make sure that then I dedicated as much time I dedicated to making as to getting it out there. And so now I've kind of delivered on all three of those things. And that's what you kind of have to do.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. I mean, it is really hard. And I had a lot of help from a lot of great people who are, professionals at what they do. And it shows. I mean, you've seen the film. It's gorgeous. So it's very difficult. And that's, if it was easy, everybody would do it.
Exactly. You just said you've had some success at festivals. I remember when we talked, a few months ago, and we were just kind of having this discussion. You said this had taken a lot out of you. An independent film does. I've been through the process. You got to raise the money. It's very stressful. You have to tell people you have to prepare them to never see the money again.
Right.
And most people, I think when they go into business now, or they invest their money, they want some kind of guarantee. You can't give people that when you're making an independent film. And I sensed in your voice that you were really feeling that. But now that you've had some success, does that motivate you to make another film? Because I think a few months ago, you weren't so sure you wanted to. Let's sit on that, and I want to hear that answer coming up next. But I also have to ask you, John, what is your favorite movie or TV show set in Wisconsin? From your own film? I'm
trying to think of that. I think isn't there a Stalker episode that happens in Milwaukee? Who's it?
Stalker episode.
Yeah, what was the name of the show? The guy that played the father on A Christmas Story.
Oh, yeah. Darren McGavin?
Yes.
I'm going to Google that.
Yes.
All right. Coming up next.
I think one of those takes place in Milwaukee. Or maybe the show took place in Milwaukee.
Night Stalker.
What it is?
I'm going to Google that.
Film called Gaily Gaily that was shot here a long time ago.
All right, coming up next, I'm going to have that answer, and we're going to get John's answer about making another film. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I see all my dreams come tumbling down. I can't be happy without you now. So alone, I keep the wolves at bay. you're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Throw out your hands, take out your tush, hands on your hips, give them a push. You'll be surprised, you're doing the French mistake. Voila!
All right, cut! Wrong! Okay, just watch
Welcome
me.
Welcome back to Nightlight.
It's so simple. You
That's Dom DeLuise.
Give me the playback.
And we are celebrating.
Watch me.
All right, you can cut it, Calvin. That's The French Mistake from Blazing Saddles, which was released in 1974 on this day. Great film. A little politically incorrect by today's standards, but it was, in fact, it was hard to find a clip from that to play. Got a couple texts here. Paparico says, Amy, that's Mrs. Paparico, picks the Blues Brothers because the Nazis drive off an unfinished part of I-794 at the time. That's a great pull. And I think they shot at Pier 1 Imports there, too. And it says also from Paparico, to be fair, Belushi went to UW-Whitewater. I did not know that. Okay, so we are continuing here. Mike Clemens is up at 9:05, by the way. He's going to give us a report from Las Vegas and tell us what's going on with the Super Bowl. But right now we have more independent film talk with writer-director John Bezak. His film, Love and Irony, will play at the Door County Short Film Festival next weekend. And where did you say it was after that? Was it Beloit, John?
Yes, Beloit. That's in April.
Okay. So
I think the 4th and 5th, or 5th and 6th, or Friday, Saturday, it looks like.
Okay.
First weekend. Yep.
So we're on statewide. Anywhere else in the state you want to pitch right now?
You know, it's actually it's also playing next week in Green Bay.
But no way. Okay.
It's actually this weekend in Green Bay, but I'm going to be up in Ely. So we heard about Ely first, we accepted, and then we heard about Green Bay, and it was, you know, it's conflicting. Yeah, so
popular guy.
Well,
good for you. Nice to have options like that. I think the show you were talking about, John, is called The Night Stalker with Kolchak.
Yes.
And we were both wrong. I thought it was set in Chicago. Turns out it was set in Las Vegas. And I'm still not convinced that's right, but that's what IMDb says.
Where it happens in Milwaukee, or there's something, there's a Milwaukee tie there. It's weird. Yeah.
You know what? I think you're right. I think it was the first episode.
Yes.
And they were tracking someone who was killing people backstage. It was kind of a cool, weird show for the time. I remember being freaked out as a kid when I watched it.
He wore that seersucker suit. And
yeah.
He was like a crime reporter, wasn't he?
Yes, he wrote about crime. And here, Jim from the 920 says, close to Wisconsin, Night Stalker takes place in Chicago. It's one of my favorites. That's what I thought, too. But for whatever reason, they're saying Las Vegas. And I do remember that. I think you're right, John, that the first episode, there were parts of it, or at least it was set in Milwaukee, whatever. But that totally counts. So, John,
I worked on a version of Dillinger that was shot in Milwaukee.
Oh, really?
A TV version starring Mark Harmon. As Dillinger.
When was that?
Early 90s.
No kidding.
Yeah. Shot it all in the Third Ward before they redid the Third Ward.
Oh, I bet that looked cool.
Yeah. Sherilyn Fenn, Patricia Arquette.
Mark Harmon. Wow.
Mark Harmon. Yeah.
I don't even remember that. That's pretty cool.
Lawrence Tierney did a cameo. Oh, yeah.
I love Lawrence Tierney.
I know. He was the original Dillinger. Yeah.
No kidding. And you know, he was great, obviously, in the Tarantino film.
Yeah. We shot this before Tarantino. He was the Dillinger was before the Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs. That's so great. And I don't know if you remember this. He was in an episode of Seinfeld where he played Elaine's dad.
Yes.
Which is hilarious. And George and Jerry are like scared of him.
The candy stripe jacket.
Yeah.
He's going to do it in the rain. He's like, yes.
What the hell are you wearing? Yeah. So, John, let's get back to your film. Are you going to make another film? You've had a little success. That's a great cure for exhaustion, I would assume.
Yeah, well, I think maybe you might have misinterpreted me in the sense that I thought I might not get the opportunity to make another film.
Okay.
Which is always, you know, we never know. One never knows. But, with the success of a film, I would definitely like to make another one, at least one more, you know?
Yeah.
You got to make two. You got to take what you learned on the first one into the second one, right?
Yeah. It would be nice to have another chance. I hope you get that. Was it hard to shoot in Milwaukee?
It was not.
Did you need permits or did you do guerrilla style?
No, you know what? I did it. I got permits.
Okay.
Just because, you know, my background's commercials. I'm like, look, you know, right. I'm asking so much of my crew and my cast. The last thing I want to do is like, okay, we can't shoot today because we didn't have permission, you know? So I did it old school. I got permission, and the office here that issued the permits and the police department, they were fantastic. They helped us in any way they could, you know, and it was like, you know, drop of a dime.
Very nice.
It was great. They were really, really helpful.
That's great when you have local cooperation. We actually have a clip.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We have a short clip that we pulled from your trailer. Let's give the listeners a little sense of love and irony. Go ahead and play that, Conrad.
Charlie, this isn't working. It's not me, it's you.
What about you? What about me? Do you really want to work in a bike shop forever? Don't you want to do something else?
I'd like you to reconsider.
All of a sudden, I'm riddled with doubt. What did I get myself into?
Jocelyn.
Nope, Rodrigo.
Nope. I'm not Rodrigo, by the way, Charlie.
Not Jocelyn. Chloe.
And I think I'm just searching for something that's genuine and authentic and truthful.
Did you hear that? He used the A word.
Nobody wants to be the real them. The only reason most people get out of bed in the morning is because they think today's the day I finally get to be somebody else.
That's a clip from Love and Irony, actually a portion of the trailer. What was happening there in that clip, John? Was that like a double date mix-up or speed dating mix-up when they got all the names wrong?
It was a blind date mix-up. Yep.
That was funny.
Yeah, which actually is based on a true story.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes.
See, that's what you got to do. You bring everything from your own life. Part of this has to be autobiographical, right?
Well, you know, you take everything and you know, you have to take reality and then you have to heighten it, you know, because my life is too boring, you know. But
what are you talking about? You're on Nightlight, buddy. You just made a movie. You're living in the fast lane, pal.
True that.
All right. So real quick, John, what we do on the show is we talk about movies and TV.
Yeah.
Real quick, just give us a recommendation. What are you watching?
Oh, wow. That's great. So I am trying to catch up on the Oscar stuff. You know, I've seen about five, which there was a time where that was enough.
Right. No kidding.
And
One quick recommendation, if you could.
Can I go old school or can I go?
It just has to be fast.
Theodore Goes Wild.
I love
it. It's an old movie.
John, thanks so much for your time tonight. Best of luck in Door County and keep us posted on the film. Thanks for being with us.
Pete, thank you. I love you and everything you do for Wisconsin. It's great. I love your show.
Likewise, buddy. Thanks so much. That's John Bezek as movie is Love and Irony. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Mike Clemens is next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5. The Tap.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Allwald. Noon to 3 on Thursday, our guest is Keegan Kelly from Crack.com. Obscure sitcoms right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes cast, folks.
comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News.